Hello and welcome to the Mind, Beauty, Spirit Coaching Series. I'm your host, celebrity makeup artist, life coach, and best-selling author, Michelle Phillips. And today I will be bringing you my insights as well as gifts and guidance from some of my amazing friends who, in my opinion, are some of the greatest teachers and experts on the planet. I am so blessed that they will be joining us and that you are here to grow your mind, strengthen your spirit, and take time for yourself to look and feel more beautiful. And if you've lost touch with who you wanted to become physically, emotionally, or spiritually, it can affect every aspect of the way you look. It's time to make the connection between your outer appearance and your deep inner self. And by doing so and expressing it in all of your everyday actions and choices, you'll radiate a beauty that can't be outmatched. By rediscovering and defining who you are on the inside and what makes you most, you know, beautiful, what you want out of life, what you will do is you will reveal to the world your unique beauty. And today's topic is one that can definitely help us look and feel more beautiful instantly. I mean instantly, using the arts as a form of self-care. Isn't that cool? Think about it. Using the arts as a form of self-care. I mean, we know that exercise helps strengthen our minds and our bodies. We know that taking on new challenges keeps the brain sharp through middle age and beyond. But now, new research shows that engagement with music, dance, and other arts may be just as powerful for preserving mental health and acuity throughout our lives. Love the topic. Self-care is essential in our lives, and to incorporate art as a form of taking care of ourselves is a supercharged form. And so we're here to share some ideas on how to do so, and joining me today is a dear friend, absolutely dear friend of mine, Lisa Marie Seelo. And she's a life coach, a modern mystic, and author of one of my favorite books, A Rebel Chick Mystic's Guide, Healing Your Spirit with Positive Rebellion. Love it. It's a Hay House book. And Lisa, what she does is assist women in living by their own rules and creating lives that rock. Welcome, Lisa.
Hi, Michelle. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks so much for joining me today. In fact, you know, I was talking about in the beginning of the call that, you know, having so many people that you and I are really, really blessed to have in our lives that are these amazing teachers, and you're one of them, who are really thinking outside of the box and how to improve our lives and how to, you know, honestly just delve into our inner selves and letting go of all of the, and I'm just going to be blunt, like all the bullshit that we have to sift through in our lives to just go, you know what? Wait a second here. Am I living my life according to what everybody else wants me to do? Do I even know who I am anymore? And bottom line, taking care of myself, really, you know, doing that, the big guilt word comes into mind. And so, you know, I love that, you know, we have this community of support here with different teachers sharing on this series of coaching calls on how to really stop the madness and say, wait a second, I'm going to start living my life according to me. I'm going to start doing things that feel good for me. And self-care is like the basis of it all. If we don't have that, we are basically walking around in a world of just kind of like mental insanity. So our perspective, you know, our glasses that we have on are all fogged up. And so with that being said, you have really mastered a lot of these thought processes. Of course, I know we were just talking about before the call, it's a process always, constantly. We're never in a perfect place. But you've really based your teaching on being a rebel chick, meaning, you know what, I'm going to do what's right for me despite what everybody else thinks. And so, you know, talk about how you even got to that place.
Yeah, I relate a lot to what you said about, you know, taking the time for ourselves, putting your foot down to make it happen. And I really think that that's the place I've been in the last year. I made a big dream of mine come true with getting my book written and published. It's really been a 2-year journey. But even though I was eating healthy, you know, getting good sleep at night, working out, doing basic things to take care of myself, I still felt there was something missing. And it's really been the last 6 months. One of my coaches had a class that I got, a home study class. It's called Meditation with Markers. She's one of my beloved coaches with you and some others that I just adore. But this class by my friend Allison really opened up my creativity, and it's such a fun thing, you know, thinking about meditation with markers. And I just started organizing all my art supplies. I had this big stash in my basement. I probably look like a craft hoarder or something. I had all these paints and all these things waiting for me to play with them. And then I noticed I start to use them every day, just maybe 5-10 minutes here or there. And I haven't really painted in about 20 years or so, but I had all the stuff. I had rubber stamps. I had everything that you could ever find at a craft store. Start to organize them. I made my home office into like an art room, and I work now on my futon in the living room on my laptop. So I just have been so stoked about this, and I've taken photos of some of the things I've worked on and, you know, texted them to friends that were stressed. I'm like, why don't you get yourself a journal? Why don't you, you know, paint or scrapbook? And that's been so fun to share with others, and we've supported each other. So I just really got out of balance. I think we all do when we go cray-cray. You know, we get crazy trying to get everything done, trying to be all things to all people, and trying to make, you know, a project that we've worked on a real huge success instead of maybe right. letting it unfold a little bit.
Right. So true, because don't we just want to take on the world and have everything come out just so? And that's when we set ourselves up for frustration and really also, like you said, letting things unfold, because then we're just pushing the envelope and we're trying to make it into something as instead of letting it just be what it's supposed to be, which oftentimes is, you know, more beautiful. It's a better experience. It's a better outcome. And we enjoy it along the way, because how many times have we accomplished something or done something and then you wake up and you go, I don't even remember the process. I'm just here. How did I get here? You know, and that's what we're talking about at the beginning of the call with all the BS that we put on ourselves. So, I mean, and what I love about you, I've known you for a few years now, and like you said, I want to really touch on this again about the different teachers and the different coaches that we've tapped into, and this is why these calls are so important and this series is so important, is because we're all teachers. Everyone on this call, everyone listening, we're all teachers. So the more that we share and that we collaborate and we learn from others, the better our world will be. And you were talking about your friend who had the coaching program with meditation with markers. I had a similar experience with my friend Lori, who I write about in my book. And Lori did the Healing Arts program, and she would have people meditate, and then after the meditation, take markers and draw. Like, whatever comes to them. And most people, I literally, when I did this, I was going through a divorce years ago, and I'm not a big artist and not a big person into, you know, drawing, so I was a little intimidated by the process. But after I meditated, I just, like, the markers just started, like, taking flight on the paper, and what I drew was a big red ball of fire, and it showed how much internal anger I had going on. And it was so eye-opening to me, because I realized that creative process helped me get something out of my body that was really not healthy for me. And I looked at how, at that point, I could start releasing that anger and going through the forgiveness process. And so I'm just sharing that because, you know, I really feel that the arts have you know, have such a profound effect on us that we don't even realize. And so share with us some of the things that you have experienced from your own creativity.
Well, I just noticed that I feel more connected to my true self, which is really, you know, teachers always say, you know, being connected to source or the divine or the universe, and we're all connected, but I feel more connected to my true self or the divine, and I just feel like my days flow better and I have more fun and I feel more open. I feel like just going about my day and asking, well, how can I be creative today? It just opens up a lot of fun possibilities, you know, from, you know, putting on some fun glitter eyeshadow to, you know, the way I cook, you know, the way I'm making my meal, or, you know, just ideas that, you know, say in a traditional way, like for our work, you know, that we do every day, just coming up with solutions out of nowhere, seemingly, you know. And so just, you know, feeling like things are more fun. I used to really get annoyed at myself because I love to play guitar. I play electric guitar, and I would feel like, oh, I got to practice. And now I'm a lot more excited. I'm like, oh, I get to play. I get to enjoy guitar. Everything is having another layer or level of enjoyment, I think. And just even being in public, I don't feel as rushed, and I don't feel annoyed at people either, which is huge, you know, because we're human. We sit in traffic sometimes, and we do get frustrated because things aren't going the way we want. And so I feel like I'm in the flow instead of trying to swim upstream, you know, like a salmon.
Yeah, like a salmon, yeah. That's a good visual.
I was just going to say, it's exhausting to be a salmon. I mean, unless you are one, I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, that sounds like I feel like a next blog coming on. It's exhausting to be a salmon. I love that. What do you share, you know, what do you suggest for people who say, well, I'm not creative. I'm not very good at, you know, I'm not really a creative person. I'm not good at art. Have you heard that before?
Yes, and I like to lovingly say, well, yes, you are, because everyone is an artist. If you ask probably every kindergartner in a classroom in any given school and you say, who are the artists, most everyone will raise their hand. And somewhere along the way, I think we lose that. But we all have it. We all have creativity in different ways. Even if you are in a more traditional field that calls on left brain. I mean, we're all left and right brain. But I noticed different friends of mine who are engineers, my husband's an engineer, they have a lot of creativity. I think it's in everyone, and everyone's an artist in some way, whether it's, you know, how you, you know, arrange your flowers or how you, you know, just you present your information in a staff meeting or something. I love graphics, and I've noticed so many people, their presentations are a work of art, and they're like, really? I'm in corporate America. I'm like, well, you're still an artist, you know? Everybody is.
Right. That's true. And visiting the arts, you know, last night my daughter and I went to see a play, Les Miserables, and it was phenomenal to go to a live, you know, theater. We didn't go see it in the movie. We went to see it in a beautiful playhouse here in town, and my 14-year-old daughter, who oftentimes teenagers, as most of you know, will sit on the couch and complain that they're bored and they're miserable and, you know, go into the negative. And so I surprised her and just got two tickets literally yesterday afternoon. I just decided to pick up the phone and call, and it's a local theater with local talent. And so it was really cool. It ended up being people, there were people in the program that she knew. And she loves to sing, and all summer long she's been doing some singing, but not like she does when she's in school in her programs. And I watched that child sit there for 3.5 hours and watch this production. Of course, it touched me tremendously, and it was such a good feeling to sit there and be in this theater and watch these amazingly talented people. But my daughter came alive, and she's like, Mom, I want to audition. I want to do the next play. Mom, I want to get back into, you know, I'm ready to start school to go back into singing. And she even sparked up, conversation with her vocal coach to start doing coaching before she goes back, whereas I couldn't get her to do it a week ago. It's really important sometimes, I think, and I'm sure you agree, Lisa, because I know this with your guitar, to just kind of push yourself and just say, you know what, I'm going to go do something like that involves the arts, like attend a play, even if it's a movie, or go to listen to music, a band, or do something that involves the arts, because that will lift your spirits as well and spark creativity inside. I mean, you don't have to be like my daughter, who's a vocalist. It sparked creativity in me and actually helped me just chill because it's been a stressful week. I know that you've gone through that before too, where you weren't playing guitar for a while and you weren't doing some things for a while, and once you did, how did that affect you?
Yeah, I really am an advocate for, doing something like you described, going to an event, just, something that is out of the blue or something you're drawn to. You never know who you might meet or what ideas that might spark in you, or just even walking around your local art supply or crafting store or your home improvement store, or just getting out of your house and your normal environment. And it just, I think it really opens things up. And I, as a musician, relate a lot, where I've gone to concerts and I'm like, oh my gosh, this rocks. This week, I just saw Black Sabbath, and they, they're an old band, but they just had a new album recently. And one of my favorite guitarists is Tony Iommi. He plays in Black Sabbath. And watching him, and he had an accident early in his guitar career as a musician that, affected his fretting hand, his left hand. And watching him play, and he just recovered from leukemia, I'm thinking, why am I so, procrastinating? Because mm-hmm. I have two good hands. His other hand, you could tell on the video screen, it may have had a little arthritis or something, but he still plays phenomenal, and he's like my parents' age. And, I just really was really inspired because, I realized, I have so much to be grateful for. But you just see any music. I love the musical Les Miserables, by the way. It's one of my favorites. And I love blues. I love jazz. I love, every kind of music. And so I also love, just seeing what other people are making. Sometimes if you're in your pajamas like me today and you want to just see what are people creating, go to Pinterest or Tumblr or some visual like social media site, and you'll see, so many people making really beautiful things. And it's not, an opportunity to say, oh, I wish I was that good, or I can't do that. It's just something about it. There may be a pink, or orange, and you think, oh, I'd love to paint my bathroom that color, or something that kind of sparks you in some way.
Right, just do it. There's a challenge for everyone on the call today. What is it that sparks you? Find something that sparks you and make a commitment to do it. And that's taking action just changes everything. And so with that being said, what tips do you have for overcoming procrastination? Because I know that's another thing. We go, okay, I'll do that, and then we put it off.
I relate a lot because, I'm human, but I have found recently that just doing one small thing a day, just committing, to doing, 5 minutes of, painting, and usually it's enough to hook you in. It's playing a little trick on that part of your brain, or, your ego that says, I don't have time, or I can't do it, I suck. And so you trick your brain, and usually that 5 minutes is enough, to get you going, or just one small step. And that has been really revolutionary in my life, because I'm kind of one of those people that used to like the word epic or go big or go home, that saying. I was a mountain bike racer, so I used to talk like that, and I can't do that anymore. And I think, too, in our modern era, we have so many hobbies and interests, and it's really hard to fit them all in a day. But even if you just commit, well, I'm going to just, go out for a walk, on Saturday, or I'm going to do yoga twice a week. If you start small, I really have felt so much better just lowering my expectations. I used to think, oh, every time I practice guitar, I would be thinking, well, one day, you know, when we have a band, you know, I want to, you know, sing and play this song perfectly. And it sets you up for a lot of frustration and suffering, I think.
Right, it does. And I think also the striving for perfection, especially in the arts, and you talk about a little bit of overcoming that self-critic of, you know, can I do this? Or that inner critic saying, you know, oh, I'm not good enough, I'm not capable. It's that could be a little bit challenging. What do you say, you know, expand on that a little bit more about how to overcome that? Because in the arts, it can be intimidating to sit down and paint.
Oh, yeah. And I really, you know, I've had situations in my life where some of my art teachers or my music teachers have made disparaging comments about my work. And so I've had some baggage, like all of us humans, to overcome. But I really, you know, I always say, you know, sometimes mistakes, you know, so-called mistakes are actually something, you know, they're there to teach us, or we can turn it into something else. And the nice thing, usually most mistakes are not so expensive that you can't just even throw it away or, you know, start over. If you're a painter, there's something called gesso that you can just apply over the canvas and start over. And, you know, some cases, you know, I've just, you know, torn things up and said, okay, I'm going to use this in a collage or something, or, you know, I'm going to recycle it and it's going to go to the earth, you know, so it's really not a waste. It's just reframing it, I'm thinking, and I think it's just, you know, permission to be imperfect, because nobody is perfect, and I think we're our biggest critics a lot of times, and that's the thing I've noticed when I'm working on, say, a painting or a song or something, or, you know, my writing, and I think, gosh, you know, this really sucks. And then I let it set maybe overnight, and I come back to it, and I find that there's something in it that I can use, or I can remix it or rework it in some way.
Yeah, and just the process of painting is so therapeutic. There's, have you heard about these classes that you can go to? They're showing up everywhere in towns, where you can take like 10 friends and then an artist will guide you through the process of how to paint a picture?
Yeah, we don't have that where I live. Like in the college town that's not far from me, I've seen some of that in community art centers. There's so many, you know, cool classes like you can take,
yeah,
you know, nowadays, which is really nice. It makes it a lot more accessible. And then you get to meet other really cool people that are doing the same as you. It's like, yay.
Yeah, exactly. And it was fun because my husband and I went and we took our kids, and our kids were more insecure about painting than we were, because, you know, we're at the point now where we're like, whatever, let's just try it. This is probably going to be crazy, but we'll just go for it. And my girls were very, they had more self-doubt because they're at that age. You know, we have 5 teenagers, but we actually took our 3 girls who were between the ages of 14 and 16 at the time. And it was really cool at the time because they're all changing. They're all getting birthdays now. But it was really cool because when we were done, everyone had painted the same picture, but they looked very different. And everybody realized that we're all capable of painting that picture, but it's all through our own lens and our own, you know, process of, you know, what we, our perception is of that painting and what that should look like. And I highly recommend that for anyone who's never painted and who's very intimidated by the process, because it was one of the coolest things we've done together as a family. And even if you just went by yourself, it was just a great self-discovery lesson. You could see everybody's personalities in each painting as well. It was just cool. There's lots of them that are popping up. Ours is called like the Picasso painting or something, but there's many of those that are popping up around the country. And like you said, in art centers and such. So that's something that might be something that we could start off with if we want to learn how to paint or pick up a musical instrument, learn how to play piano at 40 years old. Why not?
I even think, you know, sometimes if you shop, you know, especially if you have kids, they help us so much with our creativity. I don't have human children, but I have 2 nephews, and it's fun to create with kids. And if you go down aisles in your stores where they have, you know, art supplies for kids. You can pick up, like, so many fun coloring books, and I think anybody can color of any, you know, age, and you just, you could sit there and just, you know, have fun and use colors in a different way, and then there's no pressure, like you don't have to know how to draw or apply a certain art technique, and I think those are fun, or just get some sidewalk chalk or something and, you know, sit out in your yard or front yard and color with the kids in the neighborhood. That would be fun. I don't know.
That would be fun. I think some of the most therapeutic times I've ever had was painting, coloring when my kids were little, like kindergarten age, just sitting there and coloring with them, clearing your mind. Well, Lisa, tell me, share with us, first of all, share with us how we can get your book
and
your website.
Oh, yeah, my book, A Rebel Chick Mystic's Guide, it's a self-help book for women who want to be rebels or who are, and you can buy it on Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble. They had it in the stores or on their website. It's, I think, on all the e-reader devices if you're a, you know, new technology kind of person. And, yeah, I think you can order it on Hay House's website. So my website is just my name, lisacelow.com.
And that's S-E-L-O-W?
Yes, it's like below with an S, but Celo.
I love it. And you can also check out Lisa on my Mind, Beauty, Spirit Network. She is a contributor to the blog and now, of course, with the podcast series. Yay! And if you want to join us on the Mind, Beauty, Spirit Network, you can sign up by going to michellephillips.com. And when you sign up for the Mind, Beauty, Spirit Network, you'll receive few free beauty and life coaching advice, free classes, and inspiring articles like Lisa's latest article, which I loved, which was the detox from social media. That was a great article.
Oh, thanks.
That was so good. It was awesome. And you can watch videos to help you improve how you look and how you feel. And you can also join us on Facebook and Twitter. All the information is there on the website. Yeah, your blog, social media detox, before we go, you have to share. Like, you went on a detox for a month from, what, social media, but was it online as well, or were you emailing just a little bit?
Yeah, I couldn't get rid of email. That's too hard. But one day I aspired to do that. But I just had scheduled. I think I had some social media still scheduled that trickled in June. But, yeah, this past June 2013, I just decided I needed a break because I was, as the one quote says, comparing my or other people's highlight reels of their life to, you know, behind the scenes, you know, real, thinking that my life sucks, you know, all these people are, you know, more sexy or, you know, accomplished, successful than me, and I just, you know, what am I doing on the planet? You know, that kind of angst.
Yeah, and that can happen in social media for sure. Yeah.
I knew it was time for a break. I was swearing at the computer, and I'm like, wait, this is an inanimate object, Lisa. You need a break. So.
And so when you did, it changed completely, like your whole demeanor, everything went back to normal, right?
Well, yeah, and I think there was a moment, you know, about halfway in where I was starting to get really anxious because I felt like, you know, I'm not posting on Facebook. Even my mom noticed, and, you know, I didn't really notice anybody else noticing other than my really close friends, and I had that kind of epiphany that, wow, you know, I still have the same people in my life, my core group of friends, and, you know, I don't need to have like 1,000 or, because I have 1,000 friends, quote unquote, on Facebook, and I don't know if I really, you know, need that to be happy and fulfilled. And it was creating some noise in my life, and there's so many people I really enjoy on there, but I just really had to take stock of, you know, the quality of, you know, friendships and relationships in my life. It's so awesome. And I was thinking I needed to fill some sort of gap in my life by, being on there all the time. It was a little bit crazy, I think.
I agree. And so often I share with people, if we just turn off the computer and get off of social media and spend more quality time, such as what we're talking about today, dive into the arts, paint, grab a coloring book. You know,
yes.
Go out to a concert or movie or do something other than just sit on your smartphone or on your computer just reading and reading and reading what other people are doing. It's a healthier way, and you'll find that your whole life will improve overall, bottom line, you know. Turn it off, shut it down, and come alive with creativity. For sure. Well, Lisa, thank you so much for joining us today. We're going to have to do more podcasts together. We've got lots of topics that we can talk about.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having me. I adore you, of course, and I love your work. You're doing awesome work in the world for women. So thanks so much for including me.
Oh, and thank you so much for including me, too, and all the work that you do. And you constantly inspire me and so many others to really be true to who you are. And don't fall in the trap, like we were talking about at the beginning of the call. Don't fall in the trap of trying to be what other people are, what other people expect of you, because that will just lead you down to the path of unhappiness. So thank you for all you do, Lisa. I'm sending you lots and lots of love. Take care. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.